The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome in Ask Level Episode 6 alongside Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. You're powered by Double T97.3 as usual. Level, how are we doing today?
Well, I feel like I've seen that movie before. Yeah. up in Manhattan. I've seen that many times before. It's about what I think you're about where you thought you'd be, you know, way back in August. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at it that way, I think everybody got, you know, kind of excited after obviously beating Houston and then beating Texas a little bit. But, you know, again, you're the same issues that we kind of wondered about are clearly there still.
Sure.
And but we can point to a lot of things. Okay. And we will as to why we saw the same movie in Manhattan. But when you give up basically 350 rushing yards, there's just not many football games you're going to win, period. You know, that's the harsh reality of it. And so that was the, you know, kind of because you played really good defense in the second, third quarter. And mm-hmm. I think you adjusted, and I think Kansas State kind of got conservative, but it's just those explosive plays, man. 69 yard runs by Adrian Martinez and by Deuce Vaughn, because they weren't throwing it on you consistently. I mean, I think if Adrian Martinez and Deuce Vaughn stay healthy for Kansas State all season long, they're going to be a handful. If one of those guys gets dinged up or has to miss some time, I'll be interested to see if they're good enough to adjust and try to beat you in a different way. But, you know, obviously over the weekend, it wasn't, they didn't have to figure out the different ways. They just kind of ran it right at you.
Now, I think the game plan was to make Adrian Martinez beat you with his arm, and you weren't able to get to that game plan much because of the explosive play ability. It was just a tale of four quarters. Two went the way of the Red Raiders, but obviously much more explosive by Kansas State in their two quarters that they won.
Yeah, I think there's so many ways I could take this conversation, but I think that's the difference between Tech and a lot of teams in this league right now, Choice, is that, you know, your explosive plays, they're not ending in touchdowns, and other teams are. I mean, you see what Bijan Robinson and Xavier Worthy did the week before. You see what Deuce Vaughn and Adrian Martinez did to you up in Manhattan, but you don't have that ability. There's really not that player on your team that can do that on a consistent basis. And we've seen a few of that, you know, those things from Miles Price. Obviously he leaves the game with an ankle issue. And I think, but that's the difference is that, you know, I remember being at a bowl game production meeting back in San Diego when you played Arizona State in Cliff Kingsbury's first year. And the game analyst at the time was Matt Millen. Okay. NFL Network and former Detroit Lions general mm-hmm. manager and all those things. And he was almost kind of being rude about it in a way, but he was kind of right. He was like, he goes, "Coach, when I see your team, I feel like you're playing the game in a 20-yard box because you don't have anybody that can get behind the defense." And at the time, you had Jakeem Grant, and I think he could do so, although I think he was pretty young at the time.
Yeah.
And anyway, but that's kind of what you're looking at here. You just don't have anybody that just can take the top off, any pure speed, anybody that can just – because you have good players. You just don't have any pure burners, and you don't have any like next-level guys that are bona fide next-level guys right now. And I think it's – and you have a quarterback that's still you know, while he's get put up some good numbers, there's still some turnover issues, and he just still looks a bit unsure of himself at times, and he just won't kind of cut it loose. And he's got to increase your margin for error, does Donovan Smith right now, and make some plays. And in fact, he's being, you know, I don't know, to me, it looks a bit timid enough to where it's just, you know, you're not going to take a lot of chances, and maybe he's afraid of those turnovers. But you need somebody back there that really is going to be a reason why you win, not be a reason why you kind of semi keep it close. And he's still learning, but that's just the reality of where your team is right now. That's just kind of the piece of the puzzle that I think you kind of need, and you don't have it right now. He's dealing with what he's dealing with around him too. The offensive line is not great.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of learning trial by fire, and they're trying to get better, and you know, give up six sacks. Some of that's probably on the line. Some of that's probably on Donovan a bit, but it's about, I guess, to wrap that part of it up, it's kind of about what you thought, in that you're, you know, 3-2 after five games. Maybe it's even a bit better than, I don't know, but I mean,
yeah. I think, well, going back to the explosive play part, I think a part of it is, yes, you're still looking for that guy, and Miles Price is as close as you have to it.
No, you can keep looking, because it's not over there. I mean, that's the problem.
I think part of it is what you alluded to, and it's just the difference in quarterback. The plan was coming in Tyler Shuck, and it's a different quarterback. And we've heard Coach Kittley talk about that in some of the press conferences, that there has been a bit of an adjustment that he's had to make, a little bit to change things up on what he's seeing and all of that. But I think that's part of it, is that Donovan's a guy that more so you do have to kind of play in that box. And part of it is the turnovers too, because he's been turnover prone through these first handful of games. He had a great game against Texas and being clean there, but then come back and have several of them on Saturday against K-State.
Honestly, choice to me, if I tell you, you turn it over four times and you give up 350 rushing yards, or just under that, 346, I think, to be exact.
Yeah.
If I tell you that on Friday, you think, okay, you probably lost by 30 or 40.
And so
in some ways – because the one thing, this team, there's not just a lot of pure NFL next level playmaking ability talent on either side of the ball. I mean, Tyree Wilson is clearly starting to show that, with he had multiple sacks again. But they play hard. I mean, they're going to fight you. They're going to play hard, and they're not going to quit. They're going to keep grinding. And I think that's a testament to Joey and those kids and all those things. I'm just trying to look at it from a football standpoint.
Right.
When you compare it to, you know, because I watched a lot of Oklahoma State and Baylor, there's plenty of juice on those teams. I watched, you know, there's not a ton on Iowa State. I think TCU's got way more than anybody thought. And, you know, and they look like an absolute handful. And Brent Venables was struggling to dealing with all that that was going on in his face. And so you just start looking around, and we've seen it with Texas and their juice. But that's just kind of – you know, you just look slower on offense, and Donovan looks a bit timid. And when you factor all that in, you have to drive the field, and it helps the defense out, because at some point, that's when you got to run that 9th or 10th or 11th play, that's when the turnover comes, or that's when a key penalty comes, or whatever. And that's going to be the book on this Tech team, is there. You're just going to start dropping people back. I mean, that's what they're going to deal with going forward, in my opinion, is like, make the kid beat you with his legs or underneath, because we don't think that they're good enough to beat you consistently game in and game out that way, or even for a full game. But that's going to be kind of what the book is, and you're going to have to figure out, because you don't have – your running game is okay, but it's not dangerous enough to where – You respect it enough to like decide how you want to defend this offense, in my opinion. And so, you know, and Loic has got some speed, but he's a bit dinged up, but dealing with a couple of shoulder issues, a previous one and a current one. And, you know, I think that they were really excited about getting Cameron Valdez back into the mix, but he's going to be missing some more time. I think he's a change of pace guy. I think you miss Coy Aiken. Tyler King has got some speed. He's not ready yet. So I just going through it. And you know who else I didn't really see much of in Manhattan is Jerron Bradley. Didn't record a catch.
He didn't start the game either.
Didn't start it and really play much. And not that he's going to burn anybody. He's a bully ball type guy. But still, I just going through the offensive skill guys. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know, going back to what you said a little bit ago, 3-2, most people take that. I mean, I think if you ask most Tech fans through when you look at the schedule before the season, if you can get 3 wins out of the first 6, you'd be pretty happy with that because the back half of your schedule is what sets up for more success. Now, Kansas is not what we thought they were before the season, so there's that. But overall,
they're not what anybody thought.
You know, you look at the rest of the schedule, and I think you say there's not a lose or there's not a game that's a guaranteed loss, but there's no guaranteed wins left on the schedule. And this coming weekend is going to be, I think, what is the most difficult perceived matchup left on the schedule, at least as of right now.
Well, yeah, it could be. I mean, they Oklahoma State looks like a handful, and they've got plenty of their defense playing a bit better now than they were when they started that that season out against that Central Michigan team where they kind of got way up, and then they just kind of almost gave most of it back. But, they're Spencer Sanders playing really good, and they've got Brennan Presley's a handful. I mean, they're going to be good. I mean, they're going to – Mike Gundy, I mean, that never gets enough credit for how many – big winning seasons that they've had, and really the big knock on him is he just can't beat Oklahoma consistently. You know, that is a lopsided series, but other than that, he beats most everybody else. But that'll be and it's much like Manhattan. Stillwater's not really been kind to you. I mean, it just hasn't. And they're going to be riding high and ranked fairly high, and away you go. But yeah, it does not get any easier. As we look ahead, though, those Kansas and West Virginia home games are going to be monstrous for you this season if you want to extend your season and get to a bowl game. Because I don't know if I envision a scenario to where you start talking about getting bowl eligible and all that if you don't get those two done. But maybe I could be wrong, and there could be some different things that happen. And I know Kansas lost a running back yesterday that was key. It was a devastating injury. It didn't look good at all. And I think West Virginia actually lost a player at the same position that they both players carted off. Didn't the look freshman, good.
And,
So we'll see. I just, but I know Joey talked about it after the game, and I don't know what you do. Other than like really try to warm up different, or you get a little more aggressive early on. I don't really know what the answer is, but
I don't think you can get more fiery during a pregame speech. I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of weird because
and I'm talking about the slow starts,
right?
You know,
right.
That's what on the road, especially. But
yeah, and he talked about that on Saturday after the game. It's just he didn't. Can't quite put the finger on why the starts are so slow, but I mean, on Saturday you rebound really well, and that seems to be the difference, if you want to call it a culture thing or whatever. But this team does seem to feel like they're still in it, even if after a slow start, and your defense has played well enough to keep you in these games. Because there's plenty of years in the past where you haven't had a defense good enough to keep you in those games, where you go for it on fourth down in opponent territory and don't get it, but you still hold them to a field goal 2 times in that game. So defense is doing their part for the most part. And it's kind of weird to say after you give up 350 yards.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if the defense did do enough to keep you in it. I mean, and maybe you're just asking too much of them. Yeah. They kept you in the game for a while, but then the dam kind of broke, I guess. And really where the game was lost is you there's two points in that game where ultimately you look back and go, well, that's probably where we lost it. And that is, you know, you get down 13-0 but the first series, it's like 2 plays, 70 yards. And it's like, okay, what, and now you're playing behind, and trying to play catch up. And then you're not good enough to like be chasing and being behind on in both of these road games that we've seen, and good enough to beat good teams like this in their place. And two, there's 14:55 left to go in the fourth quarter, and you get a bit of an errant snap, and the hole kind of comes down awkwardly, and Trey Wolf missed a makeable field goal, and that would have given you the lead. Now, I don't know if you go on to win it, but that at that point, that's where you kind of lost the game, though, because it just kind of got away from you after that. And, you know, it's 20-20 at the time, and you battled back, and you'd look good doing it, and you played clean football for the most part, but – after that, it's like that. That's when you give up some more explosives, and then it's just that. But that's always the point, though. Where Kansas State, they don't make that mistake. They don't miss a makeable field goal for whatever reason. Even though I think it was just kind of a just slightly errant snap, and it was awkward and all that. But they don't make that one typically, and. I don't know what they were doing in the second and third quarter because they just got wildly conservative. And I think you just kind of loaded up the box. But also with that, when you say, hey, we're going to not let Adrian Martinez beat us with his legs. We're going to try to make him beat us with his arms. So we're going to load it up. Well, when you give up those running plays and they block it up right, if they get to that second level, there's nobody back there. I mean, you've kind of committed to that. And that's why you some of that you see those explosive runs and things like that, because there's no safety help back there at all. So I don't know, man. It's just but I've seen that movie before. It's kind of more of the same, and away you go. But the Kansas State hex over Texas Tech continues, because you just can't really you can't beat them no matter where it's at. I mean, you know, it's just like it's frustrating. It's,
11 out of the last 12 you've lost to those guys.
It's embarrassing, man. I mean, it's frustrating, because that is a program, and you saw Manhattan.
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me what's around there. I mean, and it'll make you really appreciate what Bill Snyder built there, because there's nothing around there.
No, the town itself was very unimpressive. There's some evening life that was cool before the game and all that.
Aggieville.
That's what it was. Yeah. But I don't know. It is crazy to say that 11 out of 12 losses to one team, and it's not the University of Texas or OU. We're talking about Kansas State, a team that you're supposed to be on the same playing field.
On par with. Yeah, and they're good. They've been good. They've been relevant and all that. But
they're not national champion caliber or Big 12 champion caliber good over that time. There's some times they're flirting with Big 12 titles. Yeah. But it's not that, – that's what's just crazy about it, is that that's not a team that's supposed to have your number like that. That's like Texas Tech against Baylor when Baylor's really bad, and Texas Tech against the Aggies in the 90s and 2000s. It's just – these are numbers you just don't expect to have against the team. And OSU is similar, not as bad, but similar over the last decade and a half.
Yeah. I mean, and that's you look at why you've kind of struggled in the last decade, or you've been down, and you just start looking at some of your series with some of these teams.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You've beat Kansas most of the time, not every time, as we know, but most of the time. You've beaten West Virginia most of the time.
Right.
But it's the Kansas States, it's the Oklahoma States, it's the TCUs, and then we know kind of what it looks like against Oklahoma and Texas. And then you sit here and, well, no wonder you've been below 500 in the league.
Yeah.
You know,
you're down there at the bottom, beating the bottom teams for the most part, but then it's that next rung of the ladder you're trying to climb back to the middle of the pack in the Big 12, and those teams keep kicking you back down the ladder. So, to transition this, we'll get to some questions from the audience to close out, but a quick preview of Oklahoma State. Is there a weakness with Oklahoma State at all this year? I mean, anything they're susceptible to?
Well, I think their defense in general is young in some spots, especially up front. I say young, and it's just inexperienced in their scheme and things like that. Obviously, they've got Derek Mason as their new coordinator, former head coach at Vanderbilt after Jim Knowles left to go be hold that same title under Ryan Day at Ohio State. But they just have lots of good athletes, man. And they ran a kickoff back for a touchdown against Baylor. They've got some speed, and then they've just got a quarterback that's kind of he did throw an interception yesterday. How about that? He threw 12 interceptions last season. Seven of those were against the Baylor Bears. Okay. And then he does throw one yesterday, but then he came right back in the next drive and I think threw a touchdown pass, maybe even on the first play.
Yeah.
Against Baylor, but they went and out, they won that game. I mean, they were just better than Baylor. And I think maybe even the expectations for Baylor were a bit out of whack, I guess, based on what they had coming back in the trenches, and they'd lost so much skill at running back and in their secondary and things like that to the NFL. Baylor's really good, but Oklahoma State was just a bit better, and that's a big win to go into Waco, and kind of they controlled that game from start to finish for the most part. And Baylor certainly made some plays, but that's the only really weakness that I see is just kind of some youth and inexperience on defense. And sometimes they look really good, sometimes not so much, but that was the biggest test they'd had. It was against the Bears in Waco, and they passed it with flying colors. So, you know, and they're not going to be, you know, I hate saying it like that, but they're not going to be intimidated by anything that Texas Tech brings to the, you're just going to have to play really well, really clean and be on it early. And you can't get down 20-0 or 13-0 like you have in your last two road games. Cause that's just not going to, that's not going to end well for you.
Will we ever face a defensive line that's not excellent this season? Because still seems like OSU's got a pretty good front
next year. Maybe I don't know. Yeah, because I mean,
every single one you faced up to
their recent weeks. They're old. They're experienced. I think the two guys that you were worried about versus Kansas State each came away with three sacks. They so
very well, yeah.
You were worried for a reason. And yeah, I mean, and again, when you're going to not face a mobile, you know, kind of quarterback and a guy that's more than capable, because you know this is just another one. But that's kind of that's the fun part about this league, is we didn't really know about a lot of these quarterbacks, and I still think that the story is yet to be written, kind of on what it looks like after the season is over, on kind of the ebbs and flows, because Blake Shapen's been pretty good, Spencer Sanders has been good, Max Duggan, nobody saw that coming, he's been superb, Jalen Daniels has been superb, Hunter Deckers has been a mixed bag. You know, Texas with, you know, I think they're just waiting for Quinn Ewers to get back, and you're dealing with your own, you know, circumstances and waiting for Tyler Shuck to get back. But that's kind of been part of the ebb and the flow of the league too, is watching it from week to week, is that you're not real sure what you're going to get out of those positions. But if Adrian Martinez continues to play like this and rush for, you know, close to 100 yards and then just stay away from the mistakes and avoid the turnovers – yeah, Kansas State's going to be a problem. I mean, they're going to be a problem, because they're one of the better teams in the Big 12. What they were doing against Tulane, though, I just maintain I have no idea. It baffles me.
They were doing was what they did the first quarter, or excuse me, the second and third quarters against Texas Tech. Probably. They were just very lackluster and maybe too conservative. But anyway, for those interested, the opening line for the Texas Tech and Oklahoma State.
Hold on, don't tell me.
I'll let you guess at it. Okay.
I'll say Oklahoma State's favored by 9.5.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A little higher, Bob.
11?
13.5.
13. Okay. So yeah.
Almost a two touchdown favorite.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, there's nothing really that would, on paper, that would suggest to you that that's the way it should go any different based on what your team is and then past history and you're kind of coming in dinged up a bit with no, you know, potentially no Miles Price. You don't know what Sir Roderick Thompson, and you know, so again, you need help on that side of the ball. You don't need to be losing anybody, but there's just not anybody. You know what this team needs, though?
What?
This team needs to go find themselves a Kalen Geiger in the offseason.
Okay.
That's the kind of guy that they need. They need a portal, like an old guy that's got some juice, that's going to make plays, that it's at one of these mid-major types, that is looking to play on a bigger stage. and that can give you something that's a good kid. I mean, they need Kalen Geiger 2.0 is what this particular group needs. And they may need more than that. Don't get me wrong, but they need something like that, in my opinion, on offense.
I thought you were going to give me something, you know, for this week. I'm like, all right, what do we got this week?
That's they need to score on their first drive is what they need. If you're asking that stuff, just because that way it kind of sets the tone, you know, and things like that. And I don't know, maybe Oklahoma State will kind of come out flat and maybe they'll, but you know, I'm kind of hoping there, and hope is not a strategy, but it's like, you know, I've seen that before where, you know, maybe you catch Oklahoma State when they don't have it that day. And they're kind of riding high. Came off of that bye week, but they just played really well against Baylor, man. So it's
no doubt.
And Sanders is playing as good as any quarterback in the league right now.
All right, get to a few questions, and we'll wrap this episode up. First question in is just a simple one: when will Tyler Shuck be back? Is there a timeline?
He's been throwing a little bit. I think it may be unrealistic to think he could be available for the West Virginia game, because keep in mind, you play Oklahoma State this coming weekend, then you have a bye week. So we're talking 3 weeks from now, but really it's 2 weeks from now, because you've got to practice and all that leading up to a game, and you'd have to earn your job back. I don't – at this point, as you asked me as we record this, there's nothing that Donovan Smith has done yet to tell me that it's just his job and, like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Sure.
I mean, it's been a mixed bag. You've seen some good. You've seen some not so good. He's learning. He's young. Part of it is a product of what he is around him, too. But I mean, I think Shuck will be – he would be a welcome sight in my eyes, I can tell you that, if he's healthy and available. He's been in there and studying and operating. I mean, I sat with him at halftime of the Texas game for a bit, and he's just in there studying. He's in there operating like he's ready and available right now, like learning the game plans each week, even though he's not even traveling or not even playing or whatever. He is somebody that is very engaged and all that. So he's trying to minimize the delay for when he is cleared, the mental part of it. It's really, this is just a physical issue.
So do you think we're more likely to see Shuck's return, if, you know, there is a Shuck return, but do you think it's more likely that we see it mid game that he comes in relief, or kind of just to get the feet wet, or
I don't know. Choice. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I think it's all based on when he's cleared and when he's, like, really ready to play. Okay. Because he may, like, you know, Ewers down in Austin, he's been kind of practicing,
but is he really
ready to play and be in a game and get hit and all these things.
Type of injuries, right?
I don't know if Quinn Ewers had surgery or not. I know Tyler did.
Yeah,
I know Tyler did, and that should actually strengthen his collarbone or whatever they went there, clavicle, whatever they went to go fix, because there's plate and screws. I mean, Joey's talked about that and all that stuff. But it's just really, it's about, you know, getting that throwing motion back and getting range of motion back, and then, you know, being able to get hit and being cleared and signed off on. So, so I don't know if that's hey, let's let him start out a game and see how it goes, or let's see if we can't work him into the system. But it's very clear that they're just not ready to push any kind of button with Barron just yet. So, you know, based on how some of the things we've seen from Donovan. So,
yeah. Next question. We'll sneak a basketball question in from Kelly on Twitter. He says, Level, who do you think will be the Bryson Williams type of leader on this year's team?
I don't know if there's ever going to be one. You could ask me that question for the next 10 years. I don't know if you'll ever get anybody like that. I mean, I think as close as you're going to get is maybe a guy like Davion Harmon, that is going to be a guy that holds people accountable. He's not afraid to speak up. He's a little more outspoken than Bryson was. And, you know, the thing about Davion is he's going to need to be really good too, because that's what Bryson just kind of demanded, respect, because of how good he played. And it wasn't that way initially. You know, we're going to remember the Bryson Williams from January and February and March, but we forget what November and December looked like. And it was a bit of a struggle. it took a while. So we just have to remember that when we watch this coming up basketball team, and that it's a process.
Right.
Everybody wants it to happen immediately, and you start making comparisons and all those things, because I remember watching Bryson against Tennessee. I remember watching Bryson against Providence, I guess it was. And I'm just like, man, it just like, man, I don't know if he's as good as maybe we thought he was going to be and all that. But then next thing you know, it's like he's going up to Lawrence, Kansas, and about single-handedly beating the Jayhawks. So, Davion Harmon would be my answer, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good answer. He does seem to be the outspoken one, and a guy that can also lead by example. This question from Alan, asking what happened with the whistle in the game late, where the whistle was blown by the official seemingly mid-play.
Well, okay, to sum this up really quickly, they botched it. The officials botched it on all kinds of fronts. They spot the ball wrong. They cheat you out of 4 yards.
Yeah.
There's multiple whistles that blew.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that just some miscommunication, and it appears that somebody on the sideline is going to just run in and kind of correct the spot maybe, or just kind of pause and let's talk about this. Whistles blow, but they elect to let the play go on, and then you end up throwing an interception. Here's why I'm not too worked up about it. Okay, they botched it. I think the league is going to say, hey, yeah, we screwed it up. It's not going to do you any good. Here's why I didn't get so worked up about it, though, at the time. It's still a two-score game. You have to score and then recover another onside kick.
Well,
at the time, maybe
you do have three timeouts in your pocket.
But you're down nine. Your bottom line is you're down 9 points.
Sure. You've got to score twice.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I just thought, okay, I can't get too worked up about it. Again, don't let somebody run for 350 yards on you.
I don't think anybody I've seen is blaming the officials, but it also takes whatever tiny percentage chance that Texas Tech still had. It takes it out of their hands, which is frustrating, because I think what's the problem there, Level, is that you've got a ref or multiple refs that are not owning up to an inadvertent whistle, and you're going to tick off one coach or the other, but they choose not to tick off the home coach in this situation because they have an inadvertent whistle. It's frustrating, but it's not the reason you lose the game.
Yeah, the Big 12 is going to apologize to you just like quietly. They did the week before when there was intentional grounding that should have been called. It wasn't, but I get frustrated with officials a lot of the times, especially at the college level, because they're very well paid, unlike at other levels. But at the end of the day, there's so many things that you could have done that you could have prevented that would have kept you from being in that situation anyway. So
no doubt. One more question. And it's another quarterback question, Level. He asks, is there a chance we'll see Barron a little bit more after this past weekend?
I don't know. I think Barron's biggest issue is that it doesn't look very good from Monday through Friday. That's all I've gathered. It doesn't look good Monday through Friday. I think it was an open competition, prior to the Texas game. And I think, Donovan clearly beat him. And you kind of wonder if it shook Donovan up a little bit and kind of, but at some point, if the turnovers keep coming, or because you need a playmaker at that position right now. And again, that's not necessarily fair. You can't have just a game manager type right now, which is kind of what I feel like Donovan is. And that's not a knock, because he just doesn't have near as much around him as we're used to having around here. Okay. And I'm not trying to take a shot at any of the guys that you have here, but when you had Eric on your team and you had some like Geiger and you had some of these guys that, maybe would get a cup of coffee or were going to get drafted in the NFL, just don't have those people right now. And if you do, they're really young and haven't quite emerged yet. You have a lot of possession type receivers, and you don't have an older, experienced offensive line, which is kind of part of the problem too, that I think Donovan's having to deal with. And maybe, you know, a guy like Barron that comes in and just cuts it loose and plays and just running around and is a gunslinger. He just, I gather he doesn't instill a ton of confidence in the midweek to earn that right yet. Again, this is me kind of connecting dots. But I mean, if you feel like that Donovan is holding you back and is again turnover prone, I mean, I, you know, because early in that game against Kansas State, I kind of wondered, okay,
yeah,
do they just kind of, you know, and Zach Kittley could say, hey, Donovan, come sit over here with me and watch a series from the sideline. Doesn't mean he's getting pulled.
Right.
I mean, Mike Leach did this with Cliff Kingsbury one time, and it was just like, for a quarter, a couple of series, and B.J. Simmons played, and then Cliff went back out there and finished up the rest of the season. There's all kinds of ways. Yeah, exactly, with Chris Todd.
Yep.
There's all kinds of dynamics there and things you can do. So, sure. But I don't think they're opposed to playing Barron. It's just a matter of, you know, there's maybe some confidence issues. There's maybe some things that maybe they know about Tyler Shough's timetable that factor into it. They may be looking at, like, well, with what's around him, we don't know if Barron could do any better. I don't know. There's could be all kinds of conversations and things like that going on, you know. Right. So anyway, it's just going to be interesting, because to wrap that part of it up, I'll be interested to see what happens with these guys after the season's over, depending on how this plays out and the portal and all that stuff. You know, because does Tyler come back and play well, and then does he cruise, or does he may sad and get a full shot at it this year? I want to, because he's got another year to come back. I mean,
he does, yeah.
So I don't envision a scenario to where all three are back here. But who the heck knows?
Said that before this year too. So
correct, absolutely.
So you never know. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Level, appreciate it. You the man. We'll do it again next week.
You are the man, Woodman. Appreciate it. Keep hope alive, people.
Absolutely. This has been the Ask Level podcast, powered by Double T 97.3. He's Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to the Ask Level podcast, powered by Double T 97.3. For more from Lubbock Sports Station, go to Double T 97.3.com.